You're listening to the New Covenant Church podcast. For notes on this message or previous messages, visit our website at nclongview.com.
All right, New Covenant, how's everybody doing today? Hope you've had a good worship experience. Worship is a great thing. It prepares our hearts, doesn't it, for the Word of God. And I always like to, when I spend time with God at home, I don't just read, I pray first, I worship a little bit, and my spirit is awakened to the God that I'm reading about. Amen, and I hope your spirit is awakened now to God's Word. We're on the second week of a series called You, God, and Love, and I want to ask you an introductory question. Knowing the series, this may be a tip-off, but if you were with a group of your friends, and you just threw this question out, what do you think the answer is that you would hear? Here's the question. What is the main thing God asks of us? What is the main thing? Think about in your mind what people would say. I'd love to hear your, I wish we were in a small group, we could talk about this. I'd love to get your feedback. But most of us, I think, would say something like, you know, keep his commandments or treat people right or love people. And somebody that hadn't been to church in 30 years would go King James on you, love thy neighbor, you know, stuff like that. So, what is it? What is the main thing that God wants? And if you read, it's not unclear to us, either in the Old or the New, but we're in the New Testament, we're in the New Covenant. And Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said this, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So a lot of times we don't see loving God as the first thing. We see loving people. But he said loving people is important, but it's not the first thing. It's the second thing. A promise we quote a lot. We should quote a lot, but we must remember the conditions of this great promise. And that is Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together. You know, when tragedy hits, this is what we say, for good. But there's a condition to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So the first condition is to love God. If you love God, we're told, things work together for the good. You really can't claim that promise without that condition. And so that's the condition. This is what God asks of us, that we become lovers of God. And I want to talk to you today about this subject called loving God. Lovers of God. What does it mean to be a lover of God? Let's be honest to begin with that we're only, if whatever love we show to God is only reciprocating what he's begun with us first. In other words, he made the first deposit. Amen? The scripture is very clear about this. 1 John 4:10, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Let's be clear. You know, none of us initiated this. And sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. 9 verses later, he says it again. We love him because he first loved us. So in every situation, God is the initiator. God is the catalyst. God makes the deposit. Obviously, his God is much greater than any of us or all of us put together. For that reason, though, it'd be very easy to underestimate the value of our love for God. When the greater loves the lesser is, it's easy for the lesser to think, well, what can I give back to you, you know? And yet we're told that we can give something back that is very meaningful, and that is our love. And it's also a commandment, if you will. And so I want to make it practical today. As I said last week, I struggle sometimes with in the early years preaching and studying this because the word love had been kind of and is still kind of butchered and diluted, and is this some sort of biochemical thing that you hope happens and hope doesn't leave? That's kind of the pagan view of love, and that's not the Christian view of love at all. That's not the biblical definition of love. Our love for God is measured by certain clear things, our worship, our service, and our obedience. It's not those things, but it's measured by those things, our worship, our service, and our obedience. And I believe our love for God comes in stages. And they reflect the different stages of our development. So I want to talk about our development today and help us see the clear stages that God has for us to develop in. And these mirror, by the way, our physical stages of development. So this is real This is going to be very familiar territory for every one of us, and hopefully we can see the parallel between the physical and the spiritual. And the first stage, obviously, is the child stage. The child stage is our initial stage of development spiritually as well as physically, and it's also the initial stage of our love for God. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And I want you to notice, there's a spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, but this expression of the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, is called the spirit of adoption, where you know that you're His. You have an awareness that you belong to God. You feel the acceptance of God the Father. And I hope and pray that's happened to you. By the way, this is foundational. If you don't get this foundation laid, you can't do the other stages. And there are people who try to skip this stage, and it never works out. And when you see the other stages, I think it'll become clear to you. So Abba, the word Abba conveys a sense of intimacy. You know, you feel the closeness of God. This is a very critical stage in your spiritual development, because you are aware of His love for you, His acceptance of you, and the security that a child has with a loving and powerful father. And just some of us may have missed that in our natural development. And unfortunately, people miss that in their spiritual development as well. And the Apostle John, who many call, he's called the Apostle of Love. So he talks more about love than any other apostles, any other writers in Scripture. And in 1 John 2, he talks about these stages that I'm sharing with you today. And he says this, he said, "I write to you," verse 12, 1 John 2, 12, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." So the childhood stage of your spiritual development, the childhood stage of your love for God, is that you celebrate the fact that you're His child, that you are in fact saved. You don't hope, you know that you're saved. You don't hope you're in His family. You know you're in His family. And you don't hope your sins are forgiven. You know your sins are forgiven. Are you at that stage? If you're not, if that's unclear, then this is something I urge you to settle today. How do you do it? You just open your heart, ask Jesus to come in. I would encourage you to let one of our team members pray with you. Or you can fill out a yes card and drop it in the box on the way out. We'll get with you. We want to make sure you understand that. We'll send you some information. We'll give you some free material. But the childhood stage is foundational. If you try to go the other stages, you don't get to this stage, you're not going anywhere. You're going to always fall back. However, many people get stuck in this stage. And I hate to say this, but our modern church culture, in my opinion, perpetuates this stage. Many churches, all you'll ever hear is God loves you, God forgives you, God accepts you, and that's wonderful. And no matter how far you go with God, you never want to forget that and celebrate it. I've been walking with God for over 40 years, and I still celebrate those realities. Every day I celebrate them. Every day I'm in awe of them. But you know what? There's other stages, and I want us to look at them. Okay, the second stage is son. It's different than child. It's a son, and this is gender-free, so we'll say daughter, son or daughter. And this is defined also in 1 John 2. Let's look at it in verse 14. He says, "I've written to you, young men, because you are strong." Young adult, we'd call this stage, young adult. "Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." Now, this stage is when you start to win in life. You start to overcome. You start to live an overcoming life. You overcome the strongholds of your life. Again, you build on the fact that God loves you no matter what. He loves you whether you overcome or not. He forgives you no matter how many times you fall down, right? Amen? All right. Amen? That was a very weak. All right. But, He's called you to win. He's called you to overcome. He has not called you to live for God 30 years governed by the same stronghold, the same issues that you keep stumbling over again and again and again. And again, unfortunately, you don't hear this in a lot of Christian theology. All you hear is that we're forgiven and we're weak and we're sinners. And that's not what the Bible teaches, guys. The Bible teaches that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so whatever you came to God with, whatever strongholds you brought into your relationship with God, God wants you to overcome those strongholds, whether it's rejection or fear or lust or anger or addiction or you name it. God has called you to overcome those things. And as a son, a young adult, a young man or young daughter, and God, as you, here's how you show your love for God. That you, in 1 John 14, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You learn to keep his commandments. This is what we saw in Jesus' own development, his earthly development. He grew up obedient to his father and mother. He was aware, he became aware of his relationship with God as his father. He became convinced of his love. But then he had to go out in the wilderness and face Satan. And this is not a battle you get to run from. This is something you have to win at. And God has called you to win. I always get the same mute response that I'm getting today when I say this. I don't know why it is, because you should get excited about winning this battle. Yeah. You should know. Listen, let me say this to you. Let me say it a different way. The battles you're fighting now, you're not meant to fight the rest of your life. You're not meant to fight them. Listen, when I show you the other stages, you have got to have won these battles in order to enter into those other stages. Just like you have to in the natural development. You've got to in your spiritual development. And you're called to do it. When you know God's called you to do something, guess what? He gives you the power to do it. He gives you the equipment. You say, Pastor, you're making me feel bad. How do I do this? It's all right there. You are strong. Why? Because the Word of God abides in you. And when the Word of God, what does that mean? It means the issue you're dealing with, here's the question I would ask you. What does the Bible say about that? Yes. Not how hard are you trying, not how motivated you are to win at this battle. What does the Bible say about that issue? And you take the sword of the Spirit, you take the Word of God, and you claim it, and you live on it, and you proclaim it, and you let it order your life, and I promise you, you will win. You will overcome whatever it is. Whether it's fear, lust, greed, rejection, whatever is conquering you, you will conquer it. And it is the stage, this is the second stage in your spiritual development. And you enter into it fairly quickly, and you don't have to stay in it very long. And then it takes you to the third stage. And by the way, these first three stages, we express our love for God by our obedience. And when we come to church, here's what we come. We come to church, we come to grow at this stage. So, you know, at this stage, it's like, I know I don't want to miss worship, but I need to make sure I'm there for the sermon. You know, that's kind of like, I need information. I need help. I need the Bible. I need to teach. So you come for that reason. If you come, and you come, and hopefully you learn to come regularly so you can get regularly fed and get the tools to win. That's what we need. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church at every stage of our development, okay? Third stage is bride. Bride. It's a little more as the son and the daughter matures. Guess what they want to do? They want to get married. And in Romans 7:4, it says, we're married to Jesus. Look what it says. It says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Did you know you were married to Jesus? I know guys struggle with this bride metaphor, but hey, guys, I just told the women they had to be sons, so we all got to figure it out, right? We all got to get past all that. And a lot of guys don't know how to be intimate, but man or woman, you got to learn how to be intimate with God. In fact, I learned transparency with people. I learned intimacy with people. I learned vulnerability with people in my relationship with God. As I learned to get transparent with God, it became easier to get transparent with people. As I learned to get intimate with God, it became easier for me to be intimate with other people. And even with my wife, you know. Because God is the great physician. He's the great healer. He's the great fixer. He's the great developer. He's the great coach. And at this stage, how you express your love to God is that in worship, you become a worshiper of God. You become a pursuer of God. The pursued becomes the pursuer. And for me personally, I know some of you, this is awkward book of the Bible to read, Song of Solomon, you know. It's real syrupy love language. Guys really struggle with it. But I learned even in that book, it helped me to see how the king pursued the maiden and the maiden had to go back and pursue the king. So you need to pursue him. You know, every relationship has to have a two-way pursuit, amen? It's like, hey, I'm always calling you. You never call me back. This ain't working, you know? And this is not where we stay as spiritual infants. And always God pursues us. Always God tracks us down. And if there's any effort required on our part to track him down, to pursue him, to keep going till we find him, if it's not easily and instantly accessible, we give up. Then we haven't entered into the bride stage yet. We're still a child stage yet. Because a child will cry and mom will come running. But God wants you to get past the stage when you cry out to God. He didn't just come running and pick you up and burp you, that you're okay. You just keep going after God because you love him and you believe in him. He's already proven himself to you. So you press in. You pursue him. And one of the ways we express our love at this stage is our worship. And at this stage of your spiritual development and your love for God, you don't just come to church to get fed. You come to church to worship. And most people, that's kind of a sequential thing. So it is important. Try not to miss the whole worship service because you want to worship. You don't want to just receive. You want to give. Amen? You want to give your worship back to God. Your worship, I don't know if you get this yet, but your worship matters to God. This is not just a few songs you sing just to kind of psych yourself up or get yourself in a good mood. This is something that matters to God. Pastor Stephen quoted it out of Psalms 34. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't know what it does to you, but it blew my mind to realize that my worship has the power to bless God. Almighty God. Have you seen that yet? Have you come to that understanding that when you worship God, it does something to him? You say, oh, God is almighty and omnipotent and all complete. Now I can't do anything to God. That's wrong. That's wrong. He's a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's a person. You're made in his image. When people love on you, does it bless you? Oh, my God, that was so weak. Thank you, Jerry. And let me urge you. I don't know where you are in this development, but let me urge you today to determine, to purpose, to enter into every stage in your development, every stage of loving God. And at this third stage, what does it mean to be a lover of God? You pursue him. You pour your love out upon him. And which leads us, by the way, if we do this, to the fourth and final stage, and that is also described in 1 John 2. He says, fathers, I've written to you, fathers, and again, mothers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. So a father brings forth life to others. Amen? A father nurtures others. You're not a father to him. You're a father to others and a mother to others. And by the way, this, as I said earlier, a natural consequence of the earlier stages, including the bride stage. We saw it. Let me read it again. Let's look at it again. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Everybody say married. All right. To him who was raised from the dead. Why? That we should bear fruit to God. So what happens when a couple's marriage becomes healthy? They get married. And what happens when they have a healthy marriage? Usually they have kids. And that's what happens when we enter into a healthy love relationship with God. God births people. We don't birth people, but we reproduce ourselves. We begin to bear fruit. Let's be clear about what bearing fruit is. Bearing fruit is not just feeling better and being nicer to people. That's important. There is the fruit of the Spirit. But here it's talked about being reproducing yourself, bearing fruit. And so here, when you come to church, you don't just come to get fed. You don't just come to worship, give back to love to God. You come to check on your kids at this stage. You come to make sure you connect with people. You come to serve. You come to make a difference. You become a steward of the work of God. You want to bear fruit at this stage of your life. You show your love to God by taking care of others. And that's what Jesus, as I follow his earthly ministry, I begin to realize that's what he was after all along. For 3.5 years, as he poured himself into these 12 disciples, his one goal, I see, was like, will you take care of other people? At the very end, after Simon's embarrassing failure to confess Jesus at the moment of his need, he says, do you love me? He said, yeah, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Take care of my people. God needs people. Listen now. God needs people. God needs people who will take care of other people. It's his plan. And this is the stage that he wants every single one of us to arrive at. If we fail to reach this stage, there's a couple of reasons I would suggest to you. We maybe never got through the sun stage where we overcame our issues. Maybe you didn't know you're supposed to overcome your issues. I know you've tried, but do you believe you're supposed to? When you believe you're supposed to, you do it. You find a way to win. You pray, you read, you get counsel, you study, you go to classes, you do what you got to do. You say, I'm going to win. I am going to win this thing. This thing will not win over me. I will win over it. I will not have any stronghold governing my life. I will conquer them in the mighty name of Jesus. That's the young man or daughter stage. And listen, until you get to that stage, guess what? You're not going to want to reproduce your life in others. You're just not. Just like a person still got jacked up with issues, they don't want to get married and have kids. They go, I don't want another me. And here's a question. Here's a good way to check on yourself. Do you want another you? Well, that's just pride. No, it's not pride. It's health. It's health. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate others. And because we fail to answer that question, we keep making excuses and coddling things we should be slaying and put to death. A good way to measure yourself is, do you want another you? I mean, I don't want them to look like me necessarily, or talk like me. But I want people to have the walk with God that I do, absolutely. At least as good as mine, maybe better. And we should be at that place, amen? So if we're not there, one of the issues it could be is that we failed to get through the sun stage. And again, some of this, a lot of this, I lay at the feet of the modern day church, because the modern day church has perpetuated spiritual immaturity and spiritual infancy. Come together, feel good, celebrate his forgiveness, go home, hope we'll see you again. And people never have a game plan of where they're going to land and the stage of life they want to get to. In the natural, we know where we want to land. How come we don't know it in the kingdom? We want to grow up, get a job, get married, have kids, retire. How come we don't know that in the kingdom? And so we perpetuated infancy, I fear. Another reason you may not have gotten to the father stage is that you never fully got married, you know. You never really came into covenant love. You kind of dated God and got married to him, you know. Christianity or your ideas of the love of God is just a momentary feeling. It's what we call Christianized puppy love, you know. It's just this feel-good moment. I love to go to church. I go two or three times a year. I promise you, man. I love it. You know, you just won't lock into anything. You see a couple dating 10 years. Well, how come you don't go? Well, we just want to make sure we're ready. Leave my options open. How many people do you know like that? With God. They act like it's all about them. That they never have to fully come into covenant with God. And if you never come into covenant with God or his people, you never bear fruit. You can date God the rest of your life. You can pop in and out of churches all you want. But you'll never bear fruit unto God. And at the end of your life, you're going to look back and you go, what difference did I really make? And you cannot make the difference you want to make unless you get planted somewhere, get into covenant somewhere with God and his people. So if you don't get to this stage, many times it's because maybe you never came into covenant love like a bride and a groom will. So these are a couple of things we can look at. And here's, the question to ask is, what stage are you? I don't know if you've identified yourself. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. But you have to know where you are so you know where you can go. And I hope and pray you've identified the stage you're in. And here's the thing I want to close with. In Psalms 91, this is a very popular promise-filled psalm we quote a lot. Toward the end of it, in verse 14, it says this. And this really encouraged me. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It really encouraged me one day when I discovered I didn't have to wait for love to happen. I could make it happen. I could set my love on God. I could decide to do that. Just like we saw, I will bless the Lord. I will set my love. We can set our love on God. And I think it'd be good if we close today with just that simple exercise of doing that. So if you'll allow me to, I'd like to ask you to stand. And you can close your eyes if you'd like. And if you have the freedom, lift your hands. Since everybody's closing your eyes, if lifting your hands makes you nervous, this is your perfect opportunity because everybody's closing their eyes. But can we just set our love on Him today? Can I just put you, for some of you, if this is not a pattern for you yet, can I just give you a taste of this morning? Can I just endear you to this process of the power and the beauty of becoming a lover of God? And when you begin to realize, listen, when you begin to realize that this is your purpose on the earth, that this is the main thing that God is after. And if you get this right, if you get this right, you'll get everything else right. You will get it right. You'll get it right. You'll figure it out. Even overcoming stuff and faithfulness issues and covenant issues. I grew up not knowing what covenant looked like, but I came into covenant with God, and He came into covenant with me, and I learned what covenant looked like. I learned the power of it. I learned the beauty of it. I learned that I, as a way of life, could set my love upon Him. Can we do that this morning? Just lift our voice to God and just tell Him, Lord, I just set my love upon You. Just speak those words to God. I set my love, Lord. I set my love upon You, Lord. I bless You this morning. Just let the words come out of your mouth. Just tell God. Tell God. If you love Him, tell Him. Tell Him why you love Him. Tell Him why you love Him. Become a lover of God. Realize that this is an actual action that we take. It's an exercise we enter into. Lord, we declare our love for You. I declare my love for You, God. Praise You, God, for Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for finding me. Thank You for adopting me. Thank You for calling me. Glorify Your name, Lord. Just declare those words. You can do it. Don't worry about what you sound like. Don't worry about what anybody hears. Nobody's listening. It's just you and God right now. But learn to declare. Learn to declare your love for God. There's a voice in some of you right now that says, I'm not worthy. Listen, that's okay. That's not your call. Your love matters to God. Just declare it. He'll help you figure out the stuff that's messing you up. But start with loving Him. Let's just sing a chorus here as we declare our love for God.
And I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I was made to worship. I was made to bless Your name.
King David was a great, how many of you know he was Israel's greatest king? When you went, you did not want to go against King David because he never lost a battle. He was a great warrior king, but he was first a great lover king. He was a lover of God. He was not ashamed to worship Jesus in front of God and everybody. And that was his secret. Some of us are better loving God. Some of us are better loving people. You know, we all have our strengths. But let me just say, we all have to put loving God first. And whatever you feel is your weakness, if you'll dedicate yourself to being a lover of God, you cannot imagine the downstream effect of that. You will get better at everything else. I urge you to purpose to set your heart and your love upon God from this day forward. Our prayer team is going to come, and if you need prayer for anything, please feel free to come. We'd love to pray with you. If you have questions about your relationship with God, let me urge you to join those who come and just receive prayer and just say, you know what, I just want to make sure my relationship with God is where it needs to be. Some of you feel like you're not there. Some of you may not be there. It's okay. It's okay. You need to be here. You're supposed to be here today. It's as simple as opening your heart to Jesus. And also, we have these yes cards. You can take one of these and fill it, just a quick fill out, and drop it on the way out if you'd like to do that. And we'll contact you later, and we'll send you a free gift, and we'll get you in touch with how to get that journey going. Guys, get the foundation laid right. You can't become a young adult. You can't be a bride. You can't be a father, mother until you first become a child. Amen? All right, we see you. God bless you.